It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning, everyone. You're back on the Marilyn York Show. Welcome back. This week, we're going to bring a little class back to the show because we have Scott Pearson here, who is a local prosecutor. And we're going to talk about drugs today. Lots of drugs, cutting edge stuff, bad stuff, teenagers using drugs. That's a specific topic I want to get into. The system, whatever you guys want to talk about drug related, 823-1920. He'll even give you the recipe, but leave out the secret ingredient on how to make meth if you really want it. I kind of do, just so I can be cool enough to say I know what's in it. So you can call in and talk to Scott Pearson. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you, Marilyn.
And we are going to discuss, let's start with marijuana. Let's start with the gateway drug and work our way up, shall we? So what are your thoughts, Scott, on whether or not, A, it's a gateway drug, as a lot of people think, and legalizing it, and what has happened in the evolution of it being legal or illegal in Nevada over the last, say, 5 years? Because I know it has evolved quite a bit.
There has been significant changes. First, there was a medical marijuana initiative that was passed. So we do have medical marijuana in Nevada.
Can they grow it and get it here, or do they have to get it, go
you
to
can,
California?
Actually. You can have, I think it's 5 mature plants, 3 immature plants, but there's strict regulations of how many plants you can have with the state. And luckily in Nevada, it actually is a controlled process. You actually have to have a legitimate medical need in order to get it. So
what's
it's not
legitimate
being,
medical need? Well, like my toe hurts.
Well, that in California, that is.
Like my eyeball hurts.
Well, in Nevada, it would be cancer. Glaucoma certainly would be one of those areas. But no, your toe hurts. We'll get you marijuana currently in California. Most of the dispensaries have a doctor. It's not really a doctor, but somebody who can prescribe it in the same building as the dispensary. And then you can just go downstairs or down the hall and you can choose from 60, 80 different varieties of marijuana. And what's happened is actually I had gone on Nevada Newsmakers and we had talked about the day before we went on that program discussing this issue, Los Angeles County had voted to close 930 of their 1,000 pot dispensaries. 930 of the 1,000 only allow 70 because the experience has been not in my backyard. It might sound nice theoretically to have people to do it, but the way that the system's being abused in California is causing a lot of concerns for a lot of individuals. And I just read 2 nights ago in preparation for this, that was challenged through the courts, and the courts have been upholding the cities and counties banning it because the claim was, well, we have disabilities and now you're stopping us from getting our drugs. And what the courts clearly said is that no, it's not a medical sanctioned drug. The FDA does not allow the prescription of marijuana, and so therefore you have no legitimate claim for that. So in Nevada, where it's gone is we have the legitimate medical marijuana for people who actually.
And you actually
need
believe
it.
That it's sort of legitimate here? I mean, not like fibromyalgia or things that people can't clinically definitively diagnose. Is that their favorite excuse? Any chronic pain? I know marijuana purportedly assists with, so I would assume any pain related, my back hurts.
Right, and that, again, that's in California, but I know in Nevada, just from the simple fact that of how many California medical marijuana users and cardholders that try to go through our system and don't get it.
Okay.
So I know it's much stricter here in Nevada. And then what they did a few years ago also is they decriminalized lower amounts of marijuana. So if you have an ounce of marijuana, which is a large Ziploc bag, it's not your sandwich bag, it's a large Ziploc bag of marijuana. It is consistent with cases of beer or cartons of cigarettes. You have that in Nevada, you cannot be arrested. You only get a citation, and that's very unique. Most of our misdemeanors in Nevada you can be arrested for, including a traffic citation.
I was going to say, yeah, seriously, but not that pot.
But not marijuana. And because the big push, you know, there was a perception that we were taking up jail and prison time with marijuana cases, and it's just simply not true. There is virtually nobody in jail or prison for simple possession of marijuana. And you could even broaden that as we talk later today about other drugs. There's very few people in custody for simple possession of controlled substances. They're really the only way they end up usually in custody for any decent period of time is if they make their problem somebody else's problem. But anyway, so
sell large quantities of it.
Right, sell or commit crimes. Frankly.
Anorexia, Dell's typing to me, is anorexia a medical problem for pot?
I'm just saying, it helps with the munchies. It makes them gain a little bit of weight.
Totally.
Well, I'll tell you, that is the reason that marijuana users cancer patients often use marijuana is because it helps with the appetite, because of the chemo and so forth. So that there is some literature out there that tends to suggest.
I can just give them some of my genetics, you know, inject some of my blood in you, whatever, and show you how to eat. It's quite good for me. So, okay. All right. So marijuana, what gateway drug, not gateway drug. What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that people who, let's say we move down the road and we're talking about heroin or we're talking about methamphetamine, and will those people have had some association with marijuana in their past? Sure. Obviously, but it's not because I don't think necessarily that marijuana led them to do it. Although there is one aspect of using marijuana that does cause you to be more likely to smoke heroin or to smoke meth. And that's the simple fact of that you're smoking something out of a pipe, a drug, and you become desensitized to that process. Certainly if you took somebody that had never smoked anything before and it just, let's say, drank alcohol, it is a step, certainly, to start smoking something and inhale it into your lungs, some sort of drug. And so it does desensitize you in that sense. But I think the larger explanation is that people that have made an illogical decision to do heroin or cocaine have also, in their past, made other illogical decisions, and that may be to
it's their
smoke
philosophy,
marijuana
period.
Or other things. Exactly. So I'm not sure there's literature that actually shows that something in the marijuana causes you to crave some other drug, as much as there is a correlation for those two reasons, because of the desensitizing that you get from it, and then just the history that you're obviously going to escalate. Certain people are. To get a better high, so to speak.
823-1920, we're talking to Scott Pearson about drugs, local prosecutor, and we are discussing legalizing marijuana as a concept and what the pros and cons of it are at the moment, and then we're going to move to bigger, better stuff like meth and crack. So right now, marijuana, what have you seen as far as the rise of marijuana use, if any, in the last, say, 20 years? Has there been a rise?
Well, I think that's the biggest issue with regards to the legalization movement is drug use has been studied. I'm an economics degree, so I certainly know how statistics can be misused and how important it is, the size of your pool you have in your study. And University of Michigan has been studying it with thousands and thousands of kids since the 70s, all the drug use. And what they find is there's an obvious direct correlation between the perception of how bad a drug is for you and the use of that drug. And marijuana has been in significant decline since the 70s, as alcohol, tobacco use have all been in significant decline. But marijuana has ticked up the last 2 years. And the association, when they ask the kids of how bad they think marijuana is for you, has also declined. So kids don't think it's that bad for you, therefore more of them are using it. And again, this isn't just a snapshot of a 1 year. They've been studying this since the 70s.
So they don't mind that they're getting man boobs? They're cool with that?
Well, the problem is that part's not pushed. I think
those anti-marijuana campaigns, those commercials, I think they're pretty good. They promote the lazy side of it, like how lazy people are on it. If you want to do nothing, do marijuana. But they don't show them with the man boobs. I think that's the only extra little jump they need to make.
There should be a man boob campaign.
It's actually true because we had Dr. McCormack on here, and she confirmed, the plastic surgeon, that in fact it does cause the male mammary glands to increase, among other medications, but that is one of them. Justin, on line one, do you have a question for the prosecutor?
Yeah.
Are you high right now while you talk to him? Because he's going to know it.
No, I'm not.
Good call, Justin, because he'll find you. So what's your question, Justin?
I want to know how he feels about drug testing. I found it to be an infallible test, and I think that it's good that we look after it, you know, drug use and whatnot. For me, in my teens, it started with cigarettes, and I hear the conversation now, you know, can pot be a gateway? Sure. But the testing part of it, I failed for a job once, and I didn't use anything. And I just want to know, how does he feel about that?
What the heck did you fail with? Were you eating a poppy seed muffin?
Excuse me?
Were you eating a poppy seed muffin? How did you fail a drug test and not use anything, Justin?
I'm just trying to tell you, and that it just my grandmother failed. She was She was in the hospital, and the doctor came to my dad and said, you know, how long has your mom been using marijuana? And he says, no, she doesn't use it. And it took three tests to find out it was Advil.
How long ago was this? Because I think the drug tests have gotten a little keener. In fact,
this was some time ago. This was like 91.
In my experience, people that use drugs test clean, and that always amazes me, particularly when they are on prescription drugs, admittedly, that should show up in the panel, and they test clean for that, too. And I always ask the parole officer, isn't that suspicious to you that they're on methadone and nothing showed up in their urine? Hello, anyone? But Scott, you answer the question. I'll quit blabbing and interrupting this moment.
Well, there is certainly a margin of error in any test like that. And it depends if they're doing a presumptive test such that they can get an immediate response, then you're going to see a larger margin of error. It's not going to be that accurate. But if you're taking the urine, and there's two different ways. Obviously, blood is going to be far more accurate. That's what we use.
It might actually be their blood as opposed to someone else's urine.
Exactly.
That's your big answer, Justin. They use someone else's pee. Or what's up with synthetic pee? I know I'm tangenting again. But like A through Z on Audi or Melting Pot, you can go buy like fake pee and that's legal. What possible legal use could you have for fake urine in a bag other than to mask and drug test?
Right. Well, and then we had the Wizinator, I think, years ago with one of the football players. But no, clearly, obviously, you have to look at the bigger picture. If you're an employer or a parent that's interested in finding out if somebody's using drugs, you don't just use, you know, obviously that one test to confirm or deny it. You have to look at all the other issues with regards to their behavior and so forth to take a broad picture because, yes, it can be manipulated, but not the blood and not the hair. Hair is obviously a very accurate test as well.
And Justin, in your defense, every person that's ever tested dirty claims that they weren't dirty. And they're like, I must have touched it on my fingers and it showed up in my pee in a large concentration. But I didn't feel high. So if you're the one dude that actually tested positive and shouldn't have, I'm sorry you're that guy. Because unfortunately,
Hold on a second. I just told you that it happened to my grandmother and she wasn't being drug tested.
Here's the thing.
I'm telling you the truth. I mean,
no, I have no reason to doubt you, but I'm thinking maybe you guys have some genetic awesomeness in your system. You're like natural THC producers. That's kind of awesome. It's familial. I've never seen it happen recently. And we do drug tests in court a lot. But again, I don't know. I don't watch them snort lines. You know, they don't do that at their lawyer's office, it turns out. So
okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you for calling in. So, Scott, let's talk about what goes into meth, what makes it flammable, but we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to teach you guys how to make meth. No, I'm kidding. But we are going to talk about what goes in it, why it's flammable, and what's crack, what's heroin, and what are the cool drug names on the street for it so I can sound like I'm down with the lingo. 823-1920, and we'll be back in a moment after the break.
Who's on your schnit list? Todd Schnit's list is growing every day. Listen live weekdays at noon. The Schnit Show, Fox News Radio, 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Are you a professional single interested in dating but can't seem to find the time? Your professional life is planned out and organized, but your dating life is random, out of control, or completely non-existent? Hi, I'm Jennifer, owner of It's Just Lunch. Maybe it's time you give us a call. Because at It's Just Lunch, we're like your personal assistant. We'll conduct a confidential, in-depth interview to discover the type of person you're looking for in a partner. Then we'll personally select your date based on the information from your interview. There's nothing random about our selection. Once we select your match, we'll make a reservation for either lunch or drinks after work. All of this is done by a real person and not a computer. Your professional life is well planned and successful. Let It's Just Lunch plan your dating life because your success is our success. If you call today, you'll receive a free professional consultation. Call 852-1001. That's 852-1001. I'm Jennifer, and I'm looking forward to your call.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
Hi, I'd like to return this.
Okay, first you'll need a receipt.
Not at Kohl's.
And the price tag needs to be on.
Not at Kohl's.
And I can't accept this if you've worn it.
Not at Kohl's.
And you have to be in the 30-day return window.
Not at Kohl's.
Before we can get started.
Return hassles? Not at Kohl's. You can return any item, anytime, for any reason. No receipt? No problem. You'll get a store credit without one. Shop with total confidence at Kohl's Mom's Day Mega Sale this Friday through Sunday. The more you know, the more you Kohl's. Kohl's. Expect great things.
News Radio, 1270.
Oh, one day when you're looking back, you were young and man, you were sad. When you're young, you get sad. When you're young, you get sad and you get high.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and we have the perfect song to intro children using drugs. But first, Scott has promised to give us the recipe for making meth and how not to blow your face off.
Well, Scott, I won't tell you that part. But
don't give us the secret ingredient.
Right.
It's like Iron Chef, only we hold it back.
Excellent. I won't tell you the process, yes. And you can find it all on the internet, unfortunately. But there, the Western method, and I mean Western United States method.
It's regional.
It is. Back east, they do the one-pot method, and they use alkali batteries, and it's even more combustive, but they can do it all in literally one pot. You can use
it's like a crock pot cooking.
Exactly. 2 liter coke bottle or something like that.
Throw some meth in the crock pot, honey.
Right. And
that's awesome.
Out west, they do a longer process. They start with your pseudoephedrine, which is your used to be Actifed, Sudafed, those type of drugs, and those companies still make
them. It's like allergy medication.
Well, it's actually a decongestant, so it opens up all the areas in your nose and your nasal cavities and so forth, and
it's
that allows you to be uncongested. And the way it does it is, yes, it's stimulating all of that area. And so
does meth help with congestion as well? I mean, just a side benefit.
I'm sure it does.
Okay. I didn't know this.
At that high level, I doubt you would be congested.
Why don't they get prescriptions for it then? I mean, why can't we make that legal too?
California will do it next week, but we're not ready yet. Go ahead, Scott. We're immature.
Oh, that's quite all right. Actually, there is a push to make pseudoephedrine a prescription drug, to classify it such that pharmacies, because I don't know
just
if you've had the experience. Exactly.
And they
did crack down quite a bit, such that I need it every year, usually in spring and fall, for not meth, the pseudoephedrine, for my allergies.
You could use meth. It's probably cheaper.
And they now control it. Where it used to be you can only buy a couple packages, and they had it out on the counters, but now you have to go to the pharmacist and you have to fill out a form. And
does it say I will not manufacture meth at Sierra SIDS? Is that what the form says?
And then so that controlling it actually has helped considerably. We don't have what we used to call the Beavis and Butthead labs anymore, where you had guys taking those packages, and you would actually find the blister packs, the packages of the pseudoephedrine at these locations where we'd have the labs. And then, so you take the pseudoephed, and then the idea is to get the ephedrine part out of there, the ephedrine, the pseudoephedrine, out of these pills. So you go through a process in order to do that, take away the binder and so forth, and then concentrate it. And some of the things you use in that process, you have to have hydriuretic acid.
Do they sell all these things in the Western Village gift shop?
Obviously not one of your sponsors, either CRC or
probably
Western
won't be,
Village.
But I'm just saying I've seen some meth housing back in the day there being broken up when I was walking the, you know, river or whatever it's
called. No, we had them at virtually every, I would say, mid-level hotel and motel in this town. I've been doing this for just about 11 years, and we used to have a lot of meth labs. And I was mentioning to you, the health department would come in then because of the toxic chemicals come out and make them strip down the hotel room to the drywall. All the carpet, everything had to go drapes because of how toxic
they changed it, though, the chemical. In those hotels. So,
you'd want the meth room. Right? Can I have the? Do you have any rooms that were used to cook meth?
Yeah. Because they're actually new carpet.
Right, refurbished.
But. I actually lived across the street from that motel, and they did a bust, and it was a meth lab that was in a van, because that's an awesome idea.
Mobile meth unit is totally more convenient.
And the best part is they didn't even drive away. They didn't even try. They were too busy being on meth in the van to get away in their getaway meth van.
Well, it probably didn't run. It was probably like on a block.
That's
she lived
probably
off
true.
Second Street,
yeah.
by the way, near the Chisholm Trailer Park. Hot location.
Yeah, and a motel that shall remain unnamed that got closed down because there were so many
Scott
meth
knows.
Busts there.
Scott knows which one.
Oh,
823-1920,
yeah.
If you guys live on Second Street and you manufacture meth and you want to tell us if we're wrong about the recipe, call us now. I know all you tweakers are in town. I saw you at Starbucks this morning. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. Anyway, so back to the hydriotic acid. That was, they started to control that as well. And so people had to make it and generally use red phosphorus and iodine.
What's red phosphorus?
Red phosphorus.
Isn't that match heads?
It is. It's the top of your matches.
That's how I caught my hair on fire about 4 weeks ago. So I know this stuff's flammable.
Excellent.
And I had wet hair and wasn't manufacturing meth, just in case you were about to arrest me.
But hanging out by match tops with your...
I was lighting a fireplace on fire. My son was licking match heads. It's not recommended, but he was two. It tasted good to him and I wasn't paying attention. So it blew up.
Excellent.
Side story.
Well, okay. Some of the other chemicals that you use in the refinement process, Coleman fuel will often be used, and that's just a white fuel similar to kerosene, and your campers know that.
And if you kids are listening to this, does this sound like something you should be ingesting, smoking? How do people use meth these days? Smoke it, shoot it,
smoking's
snort
number
it,
one.
Chew it.
You'll
what?
Take the crystal and smoke it up, and then to get even...
Meth brownies, are those in the manufacturer
no,
yet?
No, no.
Right.
There was the move to have the flavored methamphetamine, strawberry and...
Oh, that strawberry quick
raspberry
movement
and so
City.
Forth. So they did have that for a little while. It didn't really catch on, luckily.
Thank God. Weren't they trying to sell that on like elementary school playgrounds?
Well, that was the idea, I guess, was to make it more fashionable for kids. But most of your kids are going to use... crank, don't really care about the flavor of it if they're at that stage.
Well, that's the point. It's a weight loss drug. Let's be honest. They're not hungry, so you don't need to put it with food.
That is very true. And then you also use
in a powder form.
You get the form of meth at one point, which it will kill you as far as the acidic level. So you have to change with Red Devil Lye, you change the pH level so that it's actually ingestible.
While you're making your meth,
right.
pot, one pot, crock pot.
Right.
Or we use
exactly.
a two-pot method here in the West, right?
We use actually, yeah, many pots. Although I remember having a case where they were using the microwave. And the cops were in there and asking them that they had these reports that these guys were cooking meth. And then while the police officers are talking to them, they hear the ding of the microwave and go open it up. And there's the dish with the meth cooking.
I wonder if you have to use like a water bath, like in chocolate, so you don't burn it.
Like fondue.
Yeah,
right.
Like fondue. I had a meth lab in my apartment in Fallon because I am the trustee for my grandparents' slums. And yeah, we had a meth den in there. It was quite lovely what we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fantastic. The chemicals that come off it. And then, of course, yes, many of those are left in the process. You use acetone to crystallize it and clean it because it comes out kind of dirty.
That's how you remove nail polish. So.
Right. Yeah. So just imagine that.
Smell great.
That's what you use to make your meth nice and clean and then crystallize it up.
That's why their nails look so nice. So why does meth screw up the teeth? I mean, well, let's talk about, you know, why their smiles are black.
Well,
Faces
why
of Meth, my favorite poster ever, Faces of Meth. It's
right.
Awesome.
Why their smiles are the way they are, why their faces are the way they are. And I just don't mean...
Scab head.
Scabs,
and
exactly.
And they look like dog ears. They're aging in dog ears.
And then the ears, right. And so I think there's a couple things. One, how toxic the chemicals are that we just talked about.
Weird that smoking fuel would be bad
right.
for the skin. They don't teach that in Dermalogica.
And then the actual the chemistry inside your body stops producing as much saliva in your mouth, and that is one of the ways the body keeps the bacteria from attacking your teeth. So that certainly is the start of the process. And then you just have this rapid aging, quite frankly, of individuals because they are up for days at a time. And I had a case with a young kid that was out for 10 days, and that's certainly not the record in this country, but 10 days straight, you can imagine how much he's aging his body.
Did he even document that he was up 10 days? Because I'd like to see that.
Well, and there's documentation of people even longer than that. And no, we didn't quiz him because that part wasn't technically the crime.
It
was what he did during those 10 days that was important.
Okay, fair enough. But I just want to see what that looks like because I could use a 10-day up for like trial prep without the meth. So I'm just curious if you get dumb. Maybe
well, and then the crash, though. Usually it's not tit for tat, so to speak. It's not you get up for a day and then you just crash for a day. It's usually you're up for a day and you crash for 2 or 3 days is what we hear from all the meth users.
And
so
I probably crash as trial began in court. So never mind. Forget
not good.
Enough about me.
All right. No more meth for you.
So this is what ages you as well. The chemicals. And then you have the skin nuggets, the scab face. Talk to me about scabs on your face.
Right. And the what meth users, they do actually get the feeling of things crawling on them, or if they're just naturally a person, let's
that's
just say
gross.
You're a person that picks your nails. Add meth and you're picking your face, you're picking everything else.
Marilyn, listen in, face picker.
And then also some of them will, I had a case about 10 years ago with a guy that did a bunch of armed robberies, and while he was in the interview room and the detective had left, I saw him picking his scabs and then eating them. And the idea is not just a combination of the pickiness you get from methamphetamine, but there might be a little bit of methamphetamine left in that injection site that they're using.
So he's getting it out of his scab?
Right.
That's awesome.
Oh, they'll take it from the urine of other drug users. Oh, sure. Or their own urine.
We talked about sterile urine last week. That's nasty, but remember those Garbage Pail Kid cards when we were growing up? That was like, what's grosser than gross? And they'd have like meth scab picker eater guy. This could be a total, we better bring those back and start making our own. We could make money. Those things sold like better than Yu-Gi-Oh cards. So, all right, okay.
You could do some sort of Faces of Meth trading cards or something, right?
I love Faces of Meth. I can't stare enough. It's unbelievable. And then they come into court, in family court, I'm sure in your court too. Like, I'm not using.
Right.
No, I just look like an 80-year-old washed-up hooker, even though I'm 12. That's my normal look. I had a rough night. Like, you had a rough century, honey, last week. Wow. Okay, and the teeth, the black teeth. Talk to me about the nuggets, because that is undeniable. They need to go to Mexico and get a set of pearly whites if they want to deny it.
Well, and that is the two things. It is the, again, the saliva and bacteria and the aging and the chemicals. But it also, there is some data out there that does support what you had mentioned the other day, that some of them actually don't brush their teeth. It's the saliva and the other. Right, exactly.
But they don't eat, so they don't have
And then they crash and sleep
there.
With that. Well, they'll still eat some stuff. They are just burning it up. Their body is cranking, because that's what meth does, is it gets you, it is, you know, your classic speed. It also is cranking your endorphins, which is what you get from working out or running. It gives you that feeling that you can do anything, which you get from a good workout,
maybe you do, Scott. I just feel like crap during a workout, which is why I look this fine. But I get what you're saying. I've heard this from people that actually exercise for real. So what does it do, though, endorphin-wise to your brain? Because we had a discussion about this in prepping for the show that I think is curious, and how it rewires your brain. I know Scott knows quite a bit about this, and I've heard it, and it's really interesting. And I think that mainstream judges that perhaps grew up middle class or upper middle class, that didn't just like have a little meth on the side, need some education in this area. And so help me out here.
Sure. Again, it's tied to the endorphins in your body. The meth makes your body, just like working out or sex makes your body release endorphins, and that's the pleasure and the euphoric sensation you get. Also keeps you from sometimes feeling, levels of pain and so forth during that process. Obviously, that's why you can run very fast when parts of your body might be hurting,
Scott,
is the endorphins helps you overdo that. So you don't understand
athlete.
Any of that.
No,
what you're saying.
Every time I run, I'm more pain than ever. But okay, go ahead.
But so meth is doing that. It gives you that feeling. It causes your body to release far more endorphins than it normally would under any other circumstance.
And so like sex, I remember watching on a scale was like, let's say 100 on the endorphin scale. And it's just quick. I mean, it's like, the time of the orgasm, 10 seconds. If you're into Kama Sutra, 42 seconds. Chocolate cake brought you to like a 10, and like meth was like 1,000.
Right, exactly.
And it releases over like 8 to 10 hours or something,
right,
instead of just that 42-second Kama Sutra.
You're absolutely right, and it can be exactly up to 12 hours. And so what your body starts to do as a natural defense mechanism is starts to block some of those receptors. And so where that where the endorphins are coming out and triggering the reactions in the body starts blocking that so that it can't get those anymore because it realizes this isn't right. We can't be in this altered state of high forever, and it's damaging the body. And so then, of course, the meth user has to use more and more and more. And taking that aside, even if they stop using meth, they will never get the same high from running chocolate or cake. Workout or sex or chocolate cake any more in their life. Because and we don't have certainly long-term
studies.
You've
ruined chocolate and orgasms. I hope it's worth it, people. After the break, we're going to come back and still talk about drugs. We're going to talk about heroin, kids overdosing, and the favorite Skittle parties, as Scott will explain to you, where people use a whole handful of prescription drugs. And I don't mean people. I mean teenagers, geniuses out there. 823-1920, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about those things. Thanks for listening.
Fox News Channel's Brian and the Judge, weeknights at 10 on Fox News Radio 1270.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, Exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net, not com.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to Exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
You know you want to quit smoking. Well, you can do it in just a few steps. All you need is a little motivation.
Get ready.
First, set a date to quit.
Get medicine.
Talk to your doctor about medicines that can help you.
Get help.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free service that can help you get started. Or go to ahrq.gov/consumer for more information about quitting.
You can quit smoking.
A few easy steps that'll help save your life. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox 1270.
Driving that train, high on cocaine. Casey Jones, he's been.
show speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind. And no, that notion just crossed my mind.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show. It's such a better time here than court, don't you think, Scott? Because we get to have music. Like, I wish I could play theme songs in court for, like, some of my awesome cases. Like, Ally McBeal. It would be so much better if I could have, like, Maneater in my earphone while I was, like, going to town in court or something. All right. We promised to talk about heroin, chasing the dragon. Are there other cool terms I should know to sound cutting edge first? What about me again?
Well, I think a couple things that are interesting in the heroin area is two of the terms that we use frequently with regards to addiction: cold turkey.
Okay.
Do you know
we use that for
that
alcohol?
From?
No. Right.
Well, that's because in heroin detox, you actually get the goosebumps all over your body, very similar to what a cold
turkey
looks like.
Skin.
Exactly. So that's where that comes.
Oh, that's good to know. I like this stuff.
You also will have a kicking sensation that takes place in the detox period. And that
kicking
is where the
sensation.
Well, not sensation, I guess.
Like,
I
you're
mean,
kicking
reaction,
the crap out of people.
Reaction. No, it just happens. You know, the classic is you see in the TV show, the person curled up in the bed.
Uh-huh.
Well, they will
stroke
have
victims do that too.
They will have that, Seinfeld called the Jimmy leg. You know, the leg will be kicking. And it's not really a sensation.
Hard?
It's actually happened. But that actually is the where the kicking, the habit comes from, is that's the kicking
that's so
from
awesome.
It. So that's
do they
where
kick
you get
hard,
the
Scott?
Cold turkey. And I've never been around one.
You haven't hung out with detox? Because I've
detoxing,
seen people that do
right.
that, and I'm wondering if now they're heroin. Dell and I use a look with our makeup we call heroin chic, where we like kind of let our eyeliner, you know, run a little.
Right.
Inspired by Kate Moss and the Calvin Klein ads of the mm-hmm. 90s, heroin chic is coming back, apparently.
We're totally cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we cry at work, it's like even better for the makeup. So, okay, heroin chasing the dragon.
Heroin and chasing
what's
the dragon
going on?
Is just the actual smoking of it when you burn the substance, the usually black tar heroin, and smoke up the fumes as they come up off of, usually it's a piece of aluminum is what you'll use. You'll heat that and
okay.
that smokes and the heroin. And then as you suck up that, the smoke as it comes up, that's the chasing the dragon is where that comes from. But heroin's big right now out west. Again, just like we have a regional recipe preference for methamphetamine, we mm-hmm. have a regional preference for drugs. Methamphetamine started out west.
With mullets in
east,
Sun Valley.
Exactly. And and moved back east, and it is just hitting the big cities. It's made its way across the Midwest, the Appalachians and that area. Heroin, of course, has been big back east for a very long time and has been making its way out west. And there's a couple reasons for the increased use.
If you guys have those reasons and you want to call and share with us, 823-1920, go ahead and tell us why you're using heroin and what it does for your makeup world. But Scott, tell me why it's really happening. And like, are kids using heroin? I mean,
big time. And we're talking good kids at otherwise good kids. I
was like, whoa, dude, because if you're smoking heroin, you're not a good kid and don't try to come to my house.
Right. No, we're getting them at Reno High, Monogue, all the good high schools.
Well, that's because they have the money. Their lunch money is like, what, $42 a day? That's their lunch budget for like cheese board and a side of heroin?
Well, people will ask that because
with the lemon
heroin
bar.
Is bought at a $5 amount for a balloon. You'll get a small amount in a balloon for $5.
When I think of balloon, 10. I think drug smugglers who swallowed it and it came out of there. We're not allowed to talk about.
Well, the that is an added benefit that the sellers have.
Oh, he said benefit.
Is that they can swallow them when we have those cases routinely when the police officers are onto them.
Do they use a new balloon
in their mouth
when they sell it, or yes. do they just rinse
yes.
it off?
No, they do.
You don't know that these people are dirty.
Well, I just know they have a lot of balloons.
Okay.
So I assume when we bust these drug houses.
Oh, God, does this mean I'm going to have to show ID to buy balloons now when I get my spray paint? I'm tired of you druggies ruining my good times. I can't even throw a party anymore. John, on line one, we'll talk to you and stop having a good time in the studio without you. Join our good times, John.
The kids at Reno High have so much money, they drive a better car than I do.
Well, they're selling drugs, too. $5 a pill for prescriptions, so you're in the wrong business.
No one, if you study American history and law, no one's mentioned the fact that our government seems to want to protect us and won't legitimize our self-destruction.
What are you suggesting Scott do, since he is running for Justice of the Peace? Tell him what to do, John. Fix it. It's too long of a conversation.
Give the award to the plaintiff and the relief he seeks. And
okay.
say, next case. I don't know.
No, that's
what
they are doing.
Have you ever heard of a psychiatrist in town, Stanley Fry?
I haven't.
He is way out there. He's from the East Coast, and he's an advocate of legalizing pot. You know, in fact, now that I bring up the subject, I'm surprised, given the nature of today and everything that's not going on, that alcohol and tobacco are legalized, if you think about that for a minute.
I agree, because it does obviously cause cancer. Do you think Stanley Fry is, in fact, manufacturing marijuana in his office? Because we'll call him and send the DEA over there. We've got to accomplish something on today's show besides me and my usual.
Well, I could go over there and take some pictures.
Do it for me, John.
All right.
I get bored. I want some Facebook pictures of some pot plants to put up
right there.
You know,
I'm also surprised, and then I'll go away. I'm surprised not all the potheads are calling in this morning.
They're high, and they never got up yet. That's
the thing.
Well,
it's one of these wedge issues like pot and drugs and abortion.
Well, plus I have a prosecutor on. They're scared crapless, especially the meth paranoid people, because they're sure that we're in their homes with cameras in their bushes. We have a tunnel under their house where Scott is piping into their living room.
If you want to talk about legalizing drugs and have a madman on, get our esteemed district attorney on.
Oh, you just dropped a gammick bomb on here? Oh, no, you didn't. Scott cannot engage. Scott cannot engage. That is his boss.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe you'll have a new one soon. Well, y'all have a good day.
Thanks for calling in, John. We have another John. It's like double Johns. And John is another word for a bathroom. So I love it. John, talk to me. John number deuce.
One of your questions you were asking about is why are kids getting involved in heroin? And I recently found that some friends or people that I knew had kids that were hooked to pain pills for whatever reason. And once they were unable to get the pain pills, they started to go to heroin.
Scott just drew an eight ball on his page when you said that, which was like subconscious. Like he did an eight with a ball around it. It's awesome. Sorry, go ahead. So holy crap. So they're on prescriptions and then they can't get it, but heroin they can buy on the street better than they can get a Percocet.
Exactly. So
one of the things,
you know, and I heard that Scott was involved in this is she's
prosecutor. Heroin. Don't say involved. His wife will freak out.
Exactly. And prosecuting is kids were buying from individuals up in the McQueen area. The kids were all went to McQueen High School, and I guess Scott was very inspirational in prosecuting the drug dealers. I just wanted to thank him for that.
Nice, Scott. Nice work. I think my client's kid was dealing it out of his BMW up there, so I'll apologize for my contribution on the back end.
So that's all I wanted to say is I wanted to thank Scott and a little
that's awesome.
Information on why some of the kids are getting hooked to it.
Vote for Scott. That's all I have to say.
Perfect.
Thanks for calling in, John. So heroin is replacing prescription drugs. So what's up with the Skittle parties?
Well, so
Scott?
And that caller was right. Absolutely. People do. The children are starting to use the prescription drugs. And again, it goes back to that marijuana study we talked about earlier.
Well, we're going to talk about this after the break, apparently, because I'm, as usual, droning on. So keep on the phone, 823-1920, and sit tight, because we're going to talk about these Skittle parties and what they're doing with prescription drugs and how it's leading to heroin and how easy it is to overdose on heroin, unfortunately. Meantime, Junkie, who is our sponsor, does this really funny commercial in their store, and it makes me laugh. I was in there, and they play this meth commercial where Jessica, who owns it, talks about the tweakers in the store and how she knows they're in there and to get the hell out of her store. And it's awesome to watch because we know tweakers are extremely paranoid and Scott knows this better than anyone. So if they hear a commercial even mentioning tweaking, they're sure it's specifically them. They're on camera and someone's after them. And so, of course, Junkie would attract tweakers. They think they can go steal something easily and it's a big store. So she probably has a lot of them and it's affordable, assuming they aren't going to steal. And so she runs this commercial in her store and it's hilarious. But if you want to hear that commercial or actually get some clothing or some fun antiques, go into Junkie at 960 South Virginia Street anytime, any day between 11 and 7, 7 days a week. And it's a great place and the commercials are hilarious. We'll be back after the break to talk about Skittle parties.
There's a lot going on right here in Nevada. Rather than just hear about it, talk about it. 6 to 10 weekdays, Fox 1270 in the morning with Panama plus Don Gibbons.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Welcome, junkie shoppers. If you are addicted to methamphetamines, you are not allowed to shop here. Please, get your life together and revisit us clean and sober. Have a great day.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. The legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. And we're smack dab in the middle of our dance-a-thon to fight arthritis pain. Me, I've been grooving for 10 hours straight, baby, but I'm a boogie machine. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound. That's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, visit fightarthritispain.org. Then meet me on the dance floor. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show with Scott Pearson, prosecutor for the drug world of Reno, Nevada, and otherwise known as Meth Valley, Sun Valley. 823-1920 if you have some last-minute thoughts or questions, or we'll ignore you because we're more fun and interesting, or at least I think so. So I dare you to try to be that fun. I like us. Okay, Skittle Party, Scott. We promised the public. What the hell is a Skittle Party? Talk to me about the fishbowl a la prescription drugs and how stupid kids really are because, wow, they're taking it to a new level of dumb.
Right. So what we've had is kids starting to use more prescription drugs, your OxyContins, and which is a synthetic heroin, and then a lot of the other painkillers that aren't actually synthetic heroins. They're starting to use more.
And so they're
what
getting
they
these how?
Do, like, they get them, and that's the most important, I think, message to get out here, is that parents, grandparents, you need to dispose of your prescription drugs for pain medications
Not in a toilet.
As soon as you're done. Right, not in a toilet because it goes in the water supply.
Because I was just talking about flushing meth from a client, right. And I killed a dolphin, I just found out. So.
Exactly. So we don't want you putting them in the water supply. We don't want you putting them in the garbage either. But the key
not
is
brownies
they're
either.
Very easy to get another prescription. Obviously, that's part of the problem as well. But if the shoulder's bothering you again or the knee, you can call your doctor and you get another prescription. So please get rid of the excess drugs you have because the kids are going into the medicine cabinets of either their friends' houses or their parents or the grandparents. And instead of raiding the alcohol, they're taking the prescription drugs. And nobody keeps track of that.
And they don't even know what they're taking. They take whatever.
Absolutely. Because they think, and this goes back to what I was saying earlier with the study.
So estrogen's a big hit.
Right. Is they think that because it's prescription, it's medicine, it's either good for you or it's certainly not bad for you. And that's why we're seeing the increased use of it. And then so they'll take them and everyone is supposed to bring one or two of these prescription bottles to the party and they'll get a chip bowl and they'll dump them all in. And then you take a handful and take it, wash it down with a beer or something. And the last conference I was at, regional conference on this in New Mexico, they had a kid overdose that night. We've had kids overdose, and it's underreported. The heroin overdose and the prescription drug overdose is majorly underreported. You don't hear about it in the media because it's happening to good families. And so good families are embarrassed if they have a suicide in the family, if they have an overdose in the family. So those obituaries you often read where it doesn't say why the kid died, oftentimes you have a suicide or you have an overdose, and it's amazing how many kids are overdosing on either heroin that they turn to after the last caller said they've used the prescription drug. And of course, it's time release, the prescription drug. So you have this natural desire to use it more or get a quicker, better high because the tolerance is building up. So they start smoking the pills, first of all, and huffing it just like they do the heroin. And then it's an easy transition to go to the heroin after that. And heroin, you build up the addiction. And then you have the significant, they overdose, just like the scene from Pulp Fiction. Where that gal does. That happens
they
all
the stick that needle
the time.
In her heart.
Right, exactly.
So they don't have that needle in the heart ready for the adrenaline shot.
Right, and so that happens all the time with heroin. And so that's the biggest.
Come on, we lost MJ, Michael Jackson, prescription pills. All of the actors and Hollywood heroes were losing. Come on, prescriptions. It's unbelievable right now.
Those things, obviously, if you
Anna
compare
Nicole
it to cocaine
Smith,
or marijuana, they are far worse for you in many medical-wise, than marijuana or cocaine.
Well, synthetic heroin doesn't sound good. I'm not going to lie. Synthetic heroin, like you take something bad and make it synthetic. I don't like fake anything.
And then the interactions that they have with other drugs that you are taking at the same time.
Beer.
That's the reason all those labels are in there on your prescription pill of all the things you're not supposed to do with it because of what it does to your liver, what it does to your kidney, and all the other organs that you have. And now you're taking them at unsafe levels, obviously, with other drugs. And we're getting these kids dropping.
How do we impress upon these kids how stupid this is? Do we bring them on morgue tours to show their friend with the blue lips sewn shut mouth?
Well, education actually does work. Education is the number one, and you're always going to have a percentage of kids who don't care what you say.
Hopefully,
and are
not
gonna do
my
whatever
kids.
They want. But education absolutely does work. Showing them what can happen to their body, but also what happened to their life, that they can lose everything that they have. And a lot of these kids have things to lose. Now that we have a different problem with people that don't have anything to lose, grew up in that area. But at least these kids,
they have looks though. They have their looks, they have their health, they feel good, they're young, they're wild.
Well, you have everything. And except for if you
the people with nothing to lose.
Right, exactly. At least have the potential to do anything. But the more heroin and
because hot these hookers make more money, let's be honest. If you're going to be prostituting yourself and you tell them they're going to be ugly, they're going to get less play. I mean, sometimes you got to speak their language, Scott.
Well, I'll let you teach that class.
I will totally teach that class. It's like that. What was that inner city school in LA where the teacher got fired for doing math problems with drug sales? And like all of her math problems were how much for an ounce of coke and that sort of thing. And she got fired. But they were learning in there because they were speaking their language.
Well, I'll tell you, I had an economics professor that did that. And it did
listened.
Get people. Exactly. It related to a lot of the people that were in the class. They could understand when he talked about the ounce of a marijuana price and demand.
Speaking
versus,
of that,
chains and whips.
How's the economy hurt sale prices or helped sale prices in the drug world? What's expensive and what's cheap on the drug market, Scott?
Methamphetamine is riding high. It is about $1,600 an ounce. It's the top one out there.
How can these crackheads afford that? Oh, that's right. They stole my stereo. Oh,
exactly. Exactly. Right. And cocaine is extremely cheap right now. It's around $600 an ounce. Marijuana, I think, depending on the variety, is between $200 and $300
This is funny to me because high-end people use coke. Like I always think of like you know, professionals, lawyers, doctors, they use Coke, and it's cheaper, and they can afford the good stuff.
Far cheaper. And the reason why is it doesn't last very long. Only 20, 30 minutes or an hour, where meth is 6 to 12 hours. You want a bigger bang for your buck, so to speak.
Well, thanks for coming on, Scott, and we'll keep talking about this subject as it comes up. We'll probably have Scott back. It was great having you on the show. Tune in next week to the Marilyn York Show. Get on Facebook, and we're going to chat about swingers next week. So listen in. I have a swingers couple coming on. I gave them some fake names. If you have some suggestions for fake names, get on Facebook. Thanks for listening. 823-1920 next week, this week. TheMarilynYorkShow.com is another place to email. Thanks again.